chapter 13. I wanted to look at the topic of better than the Psalms. And we'll start in Acts chapter 13. I was thinking about this because we need to be very careful as believers that when we read the Bible, you know, and I'm especially thinking about the Old Testament, I just picked Psalms as an example, but that we understand what is written directly to us, and it's important for us to understand, and not to take things that are written in other parts of the Bible that really may or may not apply. So we have to be very careful. And so, you know, and in life, you meet a lot of believers and Christians over, you know, various meetings and things, and you find that a lot of, and I just picked Psalms as an example, a lot of people know Psalms, but not so many know Ephesians and Colossians. A lot of people can quote from Proverbs and other places, but not as many know Ephesians, Colossians, Timothy, Titus, Philemon, those various Romans, Galatians. And so we have to be very careful. And Acts 13 is a place I wanted to just start with. Okay, I should get to that myself. Acts 13 is where we'll go. And in verse 37 of Acts 13, we read, "But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." So here, according to this verse, the work of Jesus Christ allowed justification from things you couldn't be justified during the time of the law of Moses. So there was something better that came into effect after the work of Jesus Christ. So, you know, I said I titled this Better Than the Psalms. So when the Psalms were written, was that justification available yet? No, because Jesus Christ hadn't come yet. So what we have now by the work of Jesus Christ is better than the Psalms. Look at Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. Again, we could have read a bunch of Hebrews, but we'll just read a few verses here. Verse 1. "Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern shown to thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry." Compared to the ministry of the priests in the Old Testament, here it says he hath obtained a more excellent ministry. "By how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant." A more excellent ministry, a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Being able to be justified from things you couldn't be justified, more excellent ministry, better promises, better covenant. You see, so the work of Jesus Christ, and we're just looking at a few verses related to it, has resulted in the relationship that we have and the blessings that flow to the believer today to be better, more excellent. And those blessings were not available at the time Psalms was written. So again, when we read Psalms or any part of the Old Testament, we need to be aware of that. In Hebrews 9, just one chapter over, verse 11, "But Christ being come, an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, as opposed to entering consistently once, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ? See, how much more, how much better it is what we have today than David had, than Samuel had, than Jacob had. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And then back in Hebrews 7, verse 22, it reads, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And the word better is an interesting word to look at if you're interested, if you're one of those word study people. You know, better things were available through Jesus Christ, better covenant, better testament, greater, based on better promises, a more excellent ministry. You know, these words are used repeatedly through the New Testament about what Jesus Christ has accomplished. Look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And we could certainly start reading in Romans and read right through and see much more along these lines. Acts chapter 1. This is now when Jesus Christ was with them before he ascended. He mentioned to them some interesting things about the promise of God, the Holy Spirit that was coming. Verse 4. And when being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now the men that he was talking to about this here in this particular instance, you know those men. They had walked with him, and on various occasions he had given them power, had he not? Power to cast out spirits and to heal diseases and to raise the dead. He had given them power. So they had done the miracles. They had done wonderful things with Jesus Christ. And they had also seen Jesus Christ do those wonderful things. And yet here he says that unto them, you're about to receive power. Well, wait a minute. They had power. They already had power. What's he talking about? He's talking about a greater reality, built on a better covenant, better promises, because of his more excellent ministry. And we know after this, they did receive the new birth spirit, which no one had received before. And that was what Jesus Christ referred to as power. So that was better than what was available before Jesus Christ had done all that he had said that he was going to do, or God had said that he was going to do. So these are just a few verses to look at, you know, a better ministry, better promises, better covenant, a greater ability with the Holy Spirit that was made available. And all these are truths that apply to those of us who live in the current time period after Jesus Christ has accomplished all he was going to accomplish. So important for us to understand this. Even Jesus Christ said, if I don't go, if I'm not killed and raised and so forth, he goes, this can't happen. So he had to leave in order for all of this to be made available for people. But now it has been made available. So when we read God's word, we have to be very careful as we go through the word of God to not read truths that are true of a previous time period into the current time period in which we're living. For example, Adam and Eve in the garden. Are we still not supposed to eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Does that even exist today that we know of? And is there a garden that we're... No, That's pretty obvious. So those things that God had asked Adam and Eve to do are no longer applied, because that only applied at the time when Adam and Eve were there. And once Adam, you know, and Eve had done what they did in Genesis 3, then things changed. And things have changed over time. So, you know, how about the law of Moses? Is the law of Moses still applicable today? And we just read, no, because what Jesus Christ accomplished, it allowed us to be justified, or them to be justified, from things they couldn't have been justified by the law of Moses. Or was the law of Moses in effect when the Psalms were written? Yeah, it was. But it's no longer applicable today. So when we read books like the Psalms, and again, I'm only using Psalms as an example, then we have to be careful to recognize what's said there may not be directly applicable to us. Some truths transcend all of time, all administrations. A good example of a truth that does that is giving and receiving. Abraham paid tithes before the law was ever in effect. The tithe, or the giving and receiving, was never a part of the law. It became part of the law later. Jacob did that. Jesus Christ did it. And Paul, Jesus Christ taught it's more blessed to give than to receive. So giving and receiving has been around for a long time. And Paul reminded everybody, he said, you know, remember the words for our Lord Jesus where he said it was more blessed to give than to receive? So that truth has been around for a long time. It's never changed. It's a bless. It is more blessed to give than to receive. So when we apply a truth that we read anywhere in the Word of God, and this is very important, we have to check if it's applicable within the Word of God that is directly addressed to the time period in which we're living or not. Again, when we apply a truth, when we read God's Word, any verses we read, we have to be careful whether it is applicable within the bounds of the Word of God that is directly addressed to us in this time period. So we must be very careful when we read God's Word to understand. Let's look at a few examples. Psalm 18. Psalm 18. And again, this is applicable to all of God's Word, as I mentioned. Just pick Psalms. Psalm 18. Verse 17, we read, He delivered me from my enemy, my strong enemy, and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. Now we have to ask the question, does God reward us today, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, because of the cleanness of our hands, because of our righteousness, because we keep ourselves from sin? Is that how God blesses people today? Or could it be that he rewards people today or blesses them because of Jesus Christ's righteousness, his walk, and that he is the one who refrained from sinning. So, you know, wonderful section here in Psalms, and it's wonderful. David's praising God, and that's great. It's a blessing. But I wouldn't want to take this and say, well, now, let me read this and say, you know what? If I'm really, really good, and I do this and do that, God's going to, reward, those things are good. It is wonderful to do good, and it is wonderful to refrain from sin. But I wouldn't want to think, that's the reason why God blesses me. And if we ever need reminding, Romans chapter 3 is a good chapter to read, where God looked down and said, there was none that doeth good, There was not one righteous. There wasn't one that was following, sought after God. That's why he sent Jesus Christ. And that truth of Jesus Christ having come and have come and done all that he did wasn't applicable at the time of the Psalms. What we have today is better than the Psalms. Psalms is wonderful. What David writes here is wonderful. But isn't what we have much better than the Psalms? Isn't it nice to know that God's blessings to us flow because of the work of Jesus Christ, not by what we do or not refrain from doing? And should we refrain? Yeah, absolutely we should. But the blessings of God are by his righteousness. That's why God in Romans said he declared his righteousness, not mine or yours. In Psalm 34. Psalm 34. It's a wonderful verse. We use this verse a lot, and it is a great verse. Psalm 34:4 says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Now, is that a true? Yeah, absolutely. It's a wonderful verse. Those who seek God can get deliverance from all their fears. Yet, you know, at the time of the Psalms, when this was written, 2 Timothy 1:7 hadn't been written yet. Where it says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. So as we seek God, yeah, he will still deliver us from all our fears, but don't we have access to something even greater? A spirit that is not a spirit of fear. We can wonderfully enjoy this verse in Psalms, but at the same time, not to forget that what we have today with that new birth spirit that Jesus Christ said was coming, an even greater access to deliverance from all our fears than even David or the men who wrote Psalms ever did. It's even a greater blessing. Here's an example of let's go to Psalm 27. Again, you can read through the Psalms and understand a lot of this. Psalm 36, actually. Sorry, Psalm 36. I'm skipping ahead. Psalm 36, verse 5. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Right? Wonderful truth. Is it still true today? Absolutely. Anything change? Is God still excellent? Is his loving kindness still wonderful? Do people still put their trust under the shadow of his wings? Yeah, absolutely. Here's a truth that transcends all of time about God. So you have to be, when you read, you have to say, okay, well, let me think about that. Now, do I know anything that has possibly made this even greater or made this no longer applicable? I have to be very careful. Here's a good one. Psalm 27. Better than the Psalms. Better covenant, better promises, more excellent ministry, new birth spirit, and justification from things which the law could not provide justification for. All things we must remember. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And along the same lines, Psalm 91, which I'm sure a lot of people know from memory. Psalm 91. Verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. So here in both Psalm 27:4 and Psalm 91, we read about how, you know, the psalmist talking about making God his habitation, which is wonderful. To dwell in God, to think about the Word of God, and to be blessed by the things of God is absolutely wonderful. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 18. For through him we both have access, talking about Judean and Gentile, by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. So I'll ask you a question. Isn't being the habitation of God better than the Psalms, where he's talking about making God his habitation? Wouldn't God living within every person who calls on the name of Jesus Christ be an even greater truth than what Psalms writes? Absolutely. Being God, remember in the Old Testament, talk about God looking for a place to dwell. And then Jesus Christ talking about the coming of the Spirit and how he said that within man we will make our abode. And now Ephesians, when after it's all said and done, he goes, you, God bless, you are the habitation of God. Isn't that better than the Psalms? We still have all those blessings, but look at the access we have now that just wasn't available. All David could say was, I just long forward to the day that I can make... Well, no, you today are the habitation of God. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Isn't that wonderful? What a great truth. A great truth that we in this time period, after all Jesus Christ has done, can enjoy to be the habitation of God. Is that better than the Psalm? Absolutely. Because what was available through Jesus Christ wasn't available back at the time when that was written. Can we still thank God for his protection and blessing? Absolutely. Even better, even greater than all that was made available back in the Psalms, back at the time of Psalms. Psalms is wonderful. Wonderful verses, things we can look at and see God's blessing on his people. But we never want to forget that Jesus Christ has accomplished better promises, better covenant, more excellent ministry, Holy Spirit given to us. All these things that Jesus Christ has provided for us are even better, even greater, and we don't want to forget that. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Our filter in reading the Word of God has to be the work of Jesus Christ. When we read, anywhere we read in God's Word, and I'm especially thinking about the Old Testament and the Gospels too, every time we read, our filter of what we read has to be the work of Jesus Christ, which is why it's very significant that God says in this administration that we're to understand. Reckon yourselves dead. Remember that in Romans? We're to understand, dead to sin, but alive unto God. We're to understand the work of Jesus Christ. Because if I just live in the Psalms or Proverbs or other places, and it's all I ever read. I will see about someday the coming of the work that's going to happen, but I won't see the accomplishments of it as we read in the church epistles. And so we will miss so much. The filter of reading God's word has to always be the church epistles. Our mind, our reading in our lives, we must constantly be going back to the church epistles. Otherwise, we will forget the flow of what Jesus Christ has accomplished. And we will read truths in the Old Testament that are no longer directly applicable. We may learn from those truths, absolutely, but no longer directly applicable, because what's come is even better. It's greater. The work of Christ is so wonderful and so great. In Colossians chapter 1, 25, verse 25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, an entire dispensation or entire administration. Colossians? Okay. Oh, we can read this. I went back. That's fine. We'll go back to the next verse in a second. Colossians 1, right? Yeah. Did I say 2? 1:25. Okay. Which is to given to me, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This truth wasn't known before. That's why it was hidden. So did the psalmist know about it? Absolutely not. The psalmist would never have known about the mystery and all that was involved in the work of Jesus Christ. So they couldn't write about it. But certainly, seventh church epistle, you can read about it because God had it revealed. So how could I possibly see these truths when I read Psalms? Isn't this better than the Psalms? Isn't the revealing of that even better? Nothing wrong with the Psalms. Love the Psalms. We all enjoy the Psalms. But a lot of times people know the Psalms better and they know Colossians and Philippians and Romans and Galatians, where it talks about all that our Lord and Savior has accomplished. In Colossians 3:1, if you then be risen with Christ, I should say, since you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Those are the things that we're to seek. Just the same way as David in his time or the psalmists sought the things that were available to them, we today seek those things which are available to us, building on the work of Jesus Christ. And we'll close in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And in verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that's why we all don't have to die. He died for all of us. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Even here, by revelation, Paul writes that even during the time when Jesus Christ was here, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the Gospels, that was the time when the world knew Jesus Christ after the flesh. And here he writes, well, we're not supposed to know him after the flesh, because when he was here after the flesh, he hadn't yet done all that he was supposed to do in accomplishing man's redemption. So here we're told, you're not even supposed to know Jesus Christ after the flesh, the things he did after the flesh. We're supposed to know the things that he did as a result of his resurrection, his ascension, and his seating at the right hand of God, which the seven church epistles talk about. What was in effect when Jesus Christ was here? Was the law of Moses still in effect? Absolutely. Jesus Christ, in fact, said, I come to fulfill the law and then eventually to end the law. So that was an effect. So when we read the Gospels, we have to apply the filter again of what we understand to be true in the seven church epistles and the things that were written after Jesus Christ had accomplished it. Verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And in the Working Translation, that is translated, behold, new things have come. New things have come. The work of Jesus Christ has caused new things to come. New creation, newness of life. Because his ministry was a more excellent ministry, built on better promises, better covenant, being able to be justified from things which you could not be justified by the law of Moses, leading to an even greater indwelling of Holy Spirit that had never before been available at the time of the Old Testament, other times. So better than the Psalms, absolutely. Better than the promises made available? Absolutely. Are those promises wonderful? Fantastic. And we learn so much and so many of the truths transcend administrations. But we have to be careful when we read to not forget the monumental and greatest work ever done by anyone anywhere. And that is the work of Jesus Christ, for which today we get to be the blessed, you know, recipients by all that work he did. And we don't have to rely on our righteousness, our works, but we can rely on all that he has accomplished. Therefore, we seek those things which are above, where he is now seated at the right hand of God. Not even in the flesh when he walked the earth, but now when he's seated at the right hand of God. So better than the Psalms? Yeah, absolutely. So